Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. It's time once again for the What's Your Weird Story podcast, your weekly podcast of true, unusual, outlandish, bizarre, spectacular, spooktacular, fantastic, but absolutely true stories told by the people who lived them. I am your host, returning from the near grave of Weirdsville, Adam BB, and with me, as always, is my best friend, co-host, and homie, and other accolades to be thrown upon, the smiling sensei, Mr. Barry Johnston. How are you, sir?
Welcome back, Professor. How you feeling, man?
I'm not 100%, but I'm a lot better. So I just want to say thank you so much for covering for me. I hated not being able to be here for you guys. I hated not being here to have our little chat as we do before the shows. But dude, I've been telling you, I know 2025 has been rough on a lot of people, me included. I've basically been sick for the past 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I had COVID. I'm pretty sure it was COVID. I didn't test it, but that's what it felt like to me. And then as soon as I got off the COVID, I got the flu. And good Lord, that was the second worst flu I've had.
Yeah.
In a while. Dude.
Yeah.
It was a bad one this year.
Yeah. You were dog sick. Sick, sick, sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew that whenever you were like, I can't, I'm not feeling great. I was like, he must be really sick, because that's, yeah, it's been going around, man. I've been lucky that I haven't caught anything yet. I'm knocking on wood, because, man, that just sounded absolutely horrific. Just puke city, man.
Yeah, dude. And it was, you know, it wasn't a lot of it, but it was just when it did happen, it was very powerful and painful.
Yeah.
Not to get too, you know, graphic into it, but yeah, and just a lot of sleeping and a lot of you know, back and forth fighting off the fever, trying to break the fever. I thought I had broken it on Wednesday, and then it turned around and hit me back, let me know that it was still sticking around. So finally, I finally broke it over the weekend. And I'm feeling better. I'm very weak because I basically didn't eat for a week.
Yeah.
But I was able to. I made sure to stay hydrated. That's
good,
one thing.
Good.
When
you're that sick, you don't want to really do anything. It's like a task just to do anything. It's really rough, man. Were you able to watch anything at least, maybe, or entertain yourself in any way, shape, or form while you're feeling like that?
Well, you know, I laid on my couch and I cuddled with my cats and the TV was on, but, you know, what is on, I have no clue. I was out of it, dude. I mean, really.
I brought it up last week when I covered for you, but I've been watching Severance, and it's such a good series, man. It is.
I've heard nothing but good stuff about it.
Such an interesting storyline, and you're just always guessing. And if you get a chance, man, give it a watch. It's really, really good, man. I know. I started watching it because I saw such, you know, rave reviews from people, and the first 5 episodes of the first season, you're just kind of like, what is, going on here. It's kind of a slow burn, but then once you get to that like midway point, it's like, whoa, dude, this is wild. So anyway, yeah, we're like on episode 9, I think, of the second season. So anyway, watching that, went back and started watching, Arrested Development series.
Yeah.
Because I never watched the whole thing. I'd see bits and pieces here and there, and so I decided I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch it. So I've been enjoying that too. It's been good. So,
yeah, I had the same kind of experience. I'd see bits and pieces here and there, but I just never got. I just never really got around to watching it. But it's kind of one of those things where everybody's watching it, everybody's loving it, but you're just like, I don't know. I'm missing it whenever it's on. I don't have it, whatever it's playing on or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. There's so many other things to watch.
Yeah.
You know, and just like Community was like that for me.
Right.
And then when I watched it and was just like, this is great. This is a great show.
Yeah.
And, but I guess, I do remember I did try to watch some, rewatch some X-Files.
Yeah,
Nikki's while I was under, mm-hmm. And it's been really refreshing rewatch, because I'm not as I don't know if I'm not necessarily as close to it or nostalgic to it, but I'm nostalgic to it for sure. But I'm picking up more of it, I guess, or picking up, or it's a different lens.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of it seems kind of new.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe I'm paying attention to the different parts of it. I don't know.
New season coming. Yeah. There's a new season.
Oh,
coming.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Damn, that's wild.
Yeah. Very cool. So. Very cool. Speaking of cool, we got a really cool guest. We brought on our friend Remy. He's fantastic. We had such a great discussion with him, and wow, he's got some wild stories, man.
He certainly does, man. We're getting into the spooky territory here, so make sure you got your protective blankies and all that you need, that your nightlight is on, and you've checked all the locks, because we're getting spooky town. So joining us this week, Barry, from the Massachusetts, the Masshole State. How about Dim Apples State? Yeah, I think that's it, right? joining us is Remy. Remy, thank you for joining us. What's your weird story?
Well, I kind of grew up with paranormal stuff going on. My dad was very much one of those people who would go bless houses and get rid of the bad spirits for people.
Wow.
Him and his buddy used to be a priest, and he used to come back and tell me stories, and I know some people in my family have the power to communicate with supernatural, and I was one of the people who was gifted with the gift. I don't want anything to do with it, but it always seems to come my way and find me. I could go anywhere and have something happen. It's
wow.
And people just don't believe it until they see it,
Wow. How did that start for your dad, man? How did they start doing that? How did he get into that?
He likes to tie it with religion, that like the once he had like a religious experience and really got in touch with him being a godly person, that it kind of came to him. But he said his brother was allegedly touched by the ghost of the Virgin Mary and became a genius after that. That's the story I hear. I never got to talk about it with my uncle, because he was not religious because of that particular experience.
Wow.
So, but he definitely believed in the supernatural. He was a shaman and took a bunch of shaman classes and kind of learned how to do it. And he was in the process of teaching me and then passed away, and I never got like the full kind of thing. But he had a gift. He could find cellar holes like that nobody even knew existed by communicating with spirits. And so he had a real gift, and he used it to be a historian, and he would use the paranormal to help him write his stuff.
Gotcha. You live in the right spot of the country for that.
Yeah.
Lots of history, man.
My first experience with the paranormal that I can like actually recall, I was 10 years old. My grandmother had died like 2 days before, and I was sitting in my bed, and my younger brother, who wasn't really close with her, never really got a lot of chances to talk with her and like communicate. And I saw her ghost come down the hallway, look in his bedroom, and close the door, and then looked into my bedroom, smiled, and walked away. And he had been sleeping over somebody's house at that point, so she was probably coming over to check on him to make sure he was okay, because she never got a final goodbye. But she was dressed in just how she was, like the last time I seen her. The whole outfit, head to toe, and was glowing. Like there was a light around her, but like nowhere else. And it kind of followed her through the hallway. And wow. I was scared out of my mind, and I went over and chatted with my dad, and he goes, well, you know, I didn't really want to tell you this because I didn't want to sound crazy, but, you know, it kind of went into all about the paranormal stuff. And we just have a lot of paranormal experiences. Like, there was another time, there was a deflated balloon in our house, right? And our house was supposedly haunted. If you go spend the night at my house, the place I used to live at, which was my grandmother's house, you could hear like footsteps going up and down the staircase at night. And the guy's real chill. He don't bother. He just makes himself known. And, you know, my brother, who doesn't believe in it, came over, and we were all joking around about stuff. And this balloon we were going to throw away was completely deflated, had been deflated for a long time, you know, but my nieces like to play with it, you know. It literally inflated. It was following us around the house. Wow. We tried to like get away from it, and it just kept following us everywhere we went and around the house. You know, and it just kind of stayed at the same height, didn't deflate, inflate, just kind of stayed at the same height, you know, like head level.
Wow. I just watched a thing last night, a video of a guy that was a janitor at a school that was known to be haunted. And he had the same thing happen. He walked into a classroom. They'd had a party or something, and there was a balloon. There's a bunch of balloons, but one balloon in particular kept following him around. And you could tell that he wasn't doing it, because he would walk outside the door, go around the corner, and then he would like kind of peek around the corner, and the thing would start coming. It was freaky, man. That's freaky.
It's super freaky. And like I said, I try to get my mind off that stuff, because I know that when my mind starts going and thinking about it, it always finds its way towards me, you know?
Right.
And just like I said, I got lots of stories about this stuff. You know, this, I even talked with the Ghost Hunters, the guys who have the show Ghost Hunters.
Yeah.
I've talked with them about it before. They were actually at the library a town over from me. That's supposed to be this like big world famous haunt place in Belchertown, Massachusetts. It's like a library there. And they've had them there investigating.
Wow. So how old were you when you saw your grandmother? What age were you?
I was 10.
You were 10. Yeah, 10. Wow. And that was the first time you'd ever had anything like that happen to you directly?
Right. And that was the first, but it's not the last. Let me tell you that.
Right,
right. I currently have something going on right now, and I can't quite tell if it's my other grandmother who just passed away in November, or it's another spirit that came over and is trying to convince me it's my grandmother.
Oh, wow.
Because it's a very fine line, and anytime I've tried to use one of those things that, like, they can talk through,
yeah,
I get, like, mixed results, and it called me like a cunt one time or something. I just know that's like not language my grandmother would use. So right. That's what made me think it might be something else. You know,
that might be proof that it was grandma. But you know, hey,
she was Southern. You never know what might come out of her mouth, too. So.
Wow, man, damn. Well, how did that start?
Well, so she died. And I kind of took over the house since she's died and just making sure, because my mom's fully handicapped, she can't take care of herself.
Okay.
So I just kind of make sure things are going good, and I'm going to leave eventually. You know, just right now, I'm just making sure my mom's in a good place. You know, she's got a 5-year-old son, so it's just, you know, she can't take care of him by herself. And my grandmother had this old radio, right? And it would turn on when I walked past her room, and I bolted her room shut. Like, nobody getting in there, nobody's getting out, there's nothing in there, right? And her radio would come on random times when I'm, like, you know, maybe taking a pee, you know, in the middle of the night, or, you know, I'm coming in to go bring something in the room, and the radio would turn on. So I was like, you know what? I don't know. Maybe it's just in my mind. I'm going to unplug it, right? And I unplug it, it's still happening. So then my dad goes, well, just to you know, put devil's advocate out of there, just take out the batteries. There might be batteries in there. There's no batteries. There's no batteries in this thing. This thing just comes on. And my younger brother, who doesn't know anything about the supernatural, he come to me in the middle of the night one night and goes, hey, there's a man in grandma's room. I said, a man? He goes, yeah, I can hear a man's voice coming from grandma's room. I was like, you know, just go to bed and forget about it, you know. And so there's something there.
Wow.
I choose to ignore it because I don't want nothing more coming from it, you know.
Yeah.
My dad would come here in a heartbeat and try to get rid of it, but you know, it's just, I know some of that stuff can be dangerous, especially if it's a demon or something. And I know my dad had his priest friend who used to go on adventure with him. He had died from a demon attack. So,
oh wow.
So I really don't, if it is a demon, I don't want my dad involved with it. You know?
Wow. How go into that a little bit. What was the story and circumstances surrounding
somebody
that?
Had hired them to go to this bar where there was a bunch of demons there. And like a week later he died of, like, he was a fully healthy person and died of, like, they have no idea. They still, as they can find something wrong with them, you know, just suddenly out of the blue. And what me and my dad talked about is the thing probably followed him home, you know? And
wow.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It's very scary, which is why I try not to mess with that stuff. Cause you know, I talked with the guy from Ghost Hunters. They were saying one of the guy from Ghost Adventures, which is a whole separate team, had something follow him back. Which is why they changed the format of their show. Where I don't know if you remember the early Ghost Adventures, they used to go and rile them up because they didn't believe.
Oh yeah,
and they changed their format up because something had followed one of them to the house and helped in the fact of him getting divorced. So I can't remember the exact.
Is that Baggins? Zach Baggins? Is that who that is?
It might be. It might be. Yeah.
Another.
We need to call them Ghost Bros. But this speaks out of that because they would go out and antagonize the ghost to get, you know, some kind of reaction. And, you know, you just doing that to anything is not going to get you a positive reaction.
Right.
You know, going out and pestering and being confrontational and, you know, aggravating and you don't go and poke the bear and expect the bear to just you know be Winnie the Pooh.
Right.
he's gonna be cocaine bear and rip your face off.
Yeah, there was a couple of episodes, one where like he got, I don't know if you call it possession or whatever, but like he got like really angry and like then one of his cameramen got like something weird. They were filming something and like He up and just quit. He was like, I'm done. I can't do this. Yeah. And I think it might have been, do you remember that movie they put out where they bought that haunted house in Indiana? Mm. And they tore it down, but they kept the basement, like I think it was the stairs going downstairs, and there was like an open dirt like square where somebody had buried some objects and stuff. I think they kept the dirt from it or something that was supposedly like a possession type thing. I don't know, but they had issues from that. I remember hearing
that there was a woman and her kids that lived there, and she had a boyfriend who did some kind of magic down in the basement, and that's what started off. He did some kind of rituals down the basement, and it was like, you know, I don't know if it was what kind of particular branch of magic, but it was something, and that's whenever it started turning stuff up. And then, you know, like the little kids were like climbing up walls backwards and all sorts of crazy stuff. It's a very it's a big one.
There was a Ghost Adventures episode where they went to the Titanic Museum, and they could see the fingerprints going up and down the windows. That was crazy.
Wow. Oh,
yeah,
that's freaky. So 10 years old, see your grandmother, you see, experience some other things. Your dad had had sort of this history of, like, you know, getting involved and doing these things. Mm-hmm. Like, you start seeing things, and is he helping you through this process of like understanding what you're seeing and what it's all about, kind of a thing?
Yeah, just so that way, like, I wasn't feeling like I was going crazy, right? You know, and he could kind of relate a little bit to it, you know, but he didn't want me going out being catching ghosts and doing what they do on Ghost Hunters and stuff, because he's like, you clearly have some kind of power that they were attracted to. You know, it could go bad for you one way or another.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, is if you go out and look for these things.
No, I don't have to look. They come find me. Yeah. Very, very much so. I could go anywhere and probably find one. You know, it's like, I'm like a prime target. I don't know if it's because, you know, I walk around with a cross all the time. I don't know. I give off some kind of energy, you know, but like they will come by. Like if there's an open portal nearby, if there's like a really bad storm, you know, it seems like they come right to me. At the last house I lived at before here, it was all like cement house, and like casually my nephew came over to sleep over, and I said, you want to see something funny? He goes, yeah. Let me get into the backstory. My dad had this ex-girlfriend that was Jamaican. Okay.
Okay.
And we know her grandmother was a Jamaican witch doctor.
Okay.
On some level. Right. I had kicked her out of the house because she was doing drugs and stuff, and she was in my house, you know, as my roommate, but dating my dad, and just giving her like a place to stay. So I kicked her out. I guess her grandmother has some kind of guardian angel or protector or whatever, that people who do something to her, this guy kind of tries to do something.
Mm.
And he was at the house for at least 6 months. And he was like I don't know if he was a demon. I still don't know to this day. But after he realized I was no problem, he just kind of chilled sometimes. And so he had a specific fold-out chair that would come down, fold itself out, and then have like the imprints of like a butt sitting there in the chair. Like, you know how some of those fold-out chairs have, like, cushions?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, when a bigger person sits in there and makes that,
yeah.
Like, this would happen. And so he was sleeping over one time, and I said, you want to see something funny? He goes, yeah. I put on a particular movie that I know he would always come out and watch. Like, we'd watch Walking Dead, he'd come down and watch Walking Dead. I'd watch like stuff like that, and he would come down, and the chair would come out, sit down, and you can hear the air coming out of the chair.
Wow.
And he was like, that is the freakiest thing. He never slept over again. He was like, that is the freakiest thing I had ever seen.
Wow, man. That's wild.
Yeah. Spirit or whatever, did it move the chair, or did it just...
It would move the chair down, it would come down, come out, and then the air would come out of the seat.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah. And at that point, I was just so numb to it, it didn't freak me out anymore, you know? Like, I was like, oh, this guy's cool, he doesn't bother me, it's not like he's knocking stuff off the shelves, it's just that chair.
Wow. You know? Wow. That's freaky, man.
Do you attempt to communicate or like give it a name or anything?
No, I tried to ignore him because I was like, if there was something bad, I didn't want anywhere to be a part of it, you know?
Mm.
Right.
Yeah. But clearly he was a horror fan.
Yeah, yeah. He liked Walking Dead. I used to have a turtle that would come out of the cage. He would poke his head out of the cage when Walking Dead came out. You know, stuff likes it.
Wow. Now, do these entities like ever come to you like looking for something, like looking for you to help?
I think this one was particularly pissed off that I kicked that girl out.
Yeah,
I think he was particularly pissed off. You know?
Yeah.
Because I had never seen him before that, and then once my dad told me, well, yeah, her grandmother's Jamaican witch doctor, I was like, oh, this makes too much sense here. Like, right. I had never seen this thing before.
Wow. Damn. Yeah, that's...
I was getting at, are you a medium? Do you get, like, spirits coming to, like, hey, can you pass this along to somebody or any kind of that?
I've never had that before.
Okay.
Mainly because I try to stay away from it. I'm sure I could. I've never tried to really have a chat with them. I see ghosts and go, I'm going the other way. You guys, whatever you're doing here, you do that, leave me out of it. I want nothing to do with it, you know?
As would I.
I'm right there with you, dude. I'm right there with you, for sure. What's the freakiest thing that you've ever just seen that you've come across?
I remember going to my sister's house, my sister has a portal. When she bought the house that she's in right now, it had a portal in the attic. And there was a demon up there holding the souls of this married couple that had lived there before. And the way my dad described it is these couple was on chains, and there was a guy who looked like Darth Maul holding the chains. Like, that's the only way he could describe how this demon looked. And it didn't happen all the time, but every once in a while when I would sleep over at my sister's house, you know, at night you would get like a headache and you would just start sweating. And I wasn't the only one who felt this way over there. My brother-in-law had gone over there one time, you know, and just to go spend the night, you know, and just complete drenched sweat, headache, same kind of symptoms, you know. If it was just me, I might have thought, oh, maybe I'm coming down with something. But it's a number of people who can account for this. And my dad tried getting rid of this thing, and the thing tried charging at him. And that's when my dad got the priest buddy to come with him, and they said their little thing, got him brought him to the other side or whatever. But my dad said there's a portal there that things will come in and come out there all the time, so you might not be getting the same ghost there all the time attached to this house. And my niece is, I guess, attempting to be a witch or something, or trying to be a witch, trying to do that thing, and it found the portal through whatever. I don't know what kind of book she reads. I told her I don't want to hear about it. Like, I don't want, but I guess there's some portal there that's got like demons and ghosts coming in and out of it in their attic.
Oh my gosh, man.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Right. And I know
your reluctance to get involved, especially since you do have the ability to.
No, because I know if I got involved, I would be the first person to see something or have something happen. You know, I'd be the first one with scratches all up on me, and you know, oh man,
yeah.
I'm telling you,
that's wild. Yeah. That's wild, man. Did your dad's priest friend did he get involved in that kind of stuff when he was in the church, or was that after the church that he started getting into that kind of stuff?
I don't know. But the guy, I remember the guy just being a super cool dude, and I was shocked to find out that this guy was actually going around and doing that stuff with my dad. Because, you know, I'm like, you would think, I don't know. To me, it's still in my head. It's like, I don't attribute Christianity to paranormal, but I should. It's got a lot to do with it. I should attribute it, but to me, it just feels like two separate worlds.
Right.
You know?
It's like, well, it's also the church itself is divided on whether or not they believe those types of things can happen, you know, but obviously somewhere, you know, they do have a,
I do know that they get freaked out when you mention the name Jesus Christ.
Right.
I do know that.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. There's power in names, in the, you know, the spiritual or supernatural world. Like knowing a demon's name is like a way to like, I don't know if it's necessarily control it, but it definitely has less ability or power over you. It's, you know, that, and then
that's part of the reason why I never did Ouija boards.
Yeah.
I would never touch a Ouija board. I know something would attach itself to me. I know for a fact. It's just, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Same with we never messed with him either. Too many 80s slasher movies that and satanic panic stories about Ouija boards when we were growing up. So yeah, we never messed with them either.
Yeah.
I actually walked out of a YMCA kids event because they were playing with a Ouija board. There, I was like, I'm not doing that. You know, like
right.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't mess with stuff. At some point, I'd like to go see a psychic and them kind of explain some stuff to me, because I know some stuff just like doesn't make sense, you know. But I'm definitely like a firm believer that some spirits are there to help you, and other spirits are got evil intentions, you know.
Sure. So do you consider yourself to be a spiritual person?
I consider myself to be a Christian person.
Okay.
But I do feel like I have a lot of spirits attracted to whatever I give off, you know?
Sure. Well,
does that make sense?
Yeah, man. Well, I ask that because it comes in all shapes and sizes and forms as far as where people line up with their beliefs and stuff, you know? So,
another thing I'd like to point out is, I don't know if you guys ever seen Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so they had an episode one time where they had a Jewish rabbi come in there and say, I don't know what exactly, he said something from the Bible there and was able to ward off some spirit there. I was like, to me, that's some powerful stuff. Like, that to me is, you know, crazy, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like, and you know, I'm not Jewish. I'm strictly Christian. But, you know, the fact that those, like, old-timey, like, stuff works in that kind of spiritual setting. That's
right.
Just, you know.
Sure. Did you grow up going to church?
Yeah, I go to church. I was going every Sunday. But since I've been taking care of my mother, I haven't had time to go do it. But, yeah, I would be going there every Sunday if I had the time.
Sure. Sure. Well, there's a lot of people that refuse to even acknowledge that there's something else happening outside of what they believe, you know. So,
all right, and I couldn't go tell my pastor about ghosts and stuff. I think he would look at me like I had three heads, you know.
Right,
but
right, and that's the thing, you know. It's like, how do you? how do you navigate that? How do you, as a young kid, you know, of course, your dad, you had your dad, but you got friends and stuff. Were you able to talk about this stuff with your friends?
Some friends. Like, I had a friend that used to be a devil worshiper, right? Mm-hmm. And we would communicate about spirits and stuff. But he was really, like, against anything I had to say because I was a Christian. And he was trying to tell me he was an atheist, but I said, you're worshiping the devil. I said, you got to believe that the God exists in some format. If you think the devil exists,
right,
you know,
right.
They go hand to hand. It's not like you can have one without the other, you know? Well, other than that, I don't even hear a lot of people talk about it unless they're witches or doing some kind of other stuff, you know?
Right.
I had one ex-girlfriend that tried to tell me she was a good witch, but then she's heard her mother smell like a dead body. So I'm like, it's really hard to believe that. It definitely still smelled like a rotten body, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, in my head, that girl, she must have sold her soul. That's supposed to be what you smell like when you sell your soul. She literally smelled like a rotten corpse anytime I saw her.
Wow.
You know?
Her
mother had stabbed my dad in the hand for his blood. And I was like, to me, that's not good witch stuff. That's like,
whoa,
crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is... That's a tough world. I'm not saying that they're all out for bad intention, but I've had some run-ins with those types of people, and they call themselves good witches and stuff, but I never had anything but problems, you know.
Well, which is part of the reason why I was against my niece even getting into the witchcraft stuff. And you know, I know young girls like to do it to empower themselves, but I'm just thinking, like, there's other ways to do it, you know? I had another experience at a Willie Nelson concert where they had, like, somebody that was, again, supposed to be a good witch. They had a pink crystal, right? And I went to go grab it, and I burned my hand. And everyone else, I said, you got come over here and touch this, you know? And they were finally able to grab it. When I went to go touch it, it burned my hand.
Wow.
So I don't know what to make of that. I was like, I'm staying away from this table because I'm like, I don't know if that's got to do with me being a spiritual person. And, you know, like it's stuff like that happens to me where I'm not going in there going, hey, let me go talk to some witches, you know? Oh, man, I burned my hand. I was like, oh, that caught my eye, you know?
Yeah.
And my dad told me to be careful about the crystals, too. It's got to do with witchcraft. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, we went. Here, yeah, go ahead. Sorry. No, go ahead.
So I was going to say, it definitely seems like you're very in tuned with, you know, the other energies of the world, you know, the ones used in witchcraft and magic and spiritual energies. You know, it definitely seems that because there are. There's a lot of people who aren't. There's a lot of people who are. It seems like just like anything, it's a spectrum of what people can perceive and what they can feel. And, you know, I'm down at the zero, you know, percent. I'm ghost blind and all of that, which is perfectly fine with me. But then there's, you know, people like yourself who are, you know, you're probably maybe on like the 70, you know, where you're perceptive, but you're not also... You know, you're not trying to develop it. You're not trying to necessarily embrace it either. Right.
Like, I'm not like my uncle. My uncle supposedly learned from, like, a person who was, I don't even want to say the word, but it's like an Indian kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly my uncle was this shaman, big, powerful shaman. And from what I hear, he knew how to shapeshift, but I never saw him shapeshift. He would never do it in front of me. But he's my dad tells me that he knew how to do it. And I don't know what to attribute to that, you know? Like, was he one of those, I don't even want to say the word because I could get in trouble, but you know, was he one or what? You know, like that. It's all stuff like I really wonder. You know.
Yeah.
Don't say the word off the air.
Yeah.
We'll tell everybody what it is. So I'm sure most of our listeners, or at least a good portion of them, know what you mean about the native shape shifting spiritualist. So, yeah, those are freaky.
I'm part Native American too, so like,
yeah.
I know I could get in trouble with one of right. those. I'm good with that. I don't need anything coming at my door.
Yeah. Have you ever come across any shadow people at all?
Define shadow people.
A lot of times, like we recently had somebody on who, it was a figure that has like a top hat mm-hmm. type of a situation. Also all kinds of
like living shadows, like silhouettes yeah. that move. But there's no body that's casting them there.
I mean, other than ghosts, it could have been a shadow person. But I just thought it was a ghost, you know?
Yeah.
There's plenty of times where there's a ghost car down the street from where I used to live. And this is like clear country. And it's run through me before. When I used to walk home at 3 o'clock in the morning in the middle, like walking through the woods and stuff. And it's just like all woods. It's just the street and all woods, no lights, nothing. And I saw this car coming for me, and it was coming fast. And I was like, it's going to hit me. I'm just whatever, give up. And it went right through me. And I had to call my dad and my sister, like, did this really just happen? Like, and my dad told me, oh, yeah, that guy crashed into a tree, you know, somewhat 30 years ago. Like, and wow. my dad, when he was with his first wife and my uncle, and somebody else saw a carriage and buggy drive down the street, and they're convinced it was a ghost.
Wow.
Nobody. We live in like the middle of nowhere. There's no houses. Like, where is the horse and buggy gonna come from? Like,
right. Well, you live in a highly charged area.
It's the granite. My dad said there's sure. a lot of granite in the area.
Yeah, man. I mean, all that. My wife and I took a really nice trip over to the East Coast a few years ago and had a great time. We went on a ghost trip, basically. But there is a lot of history there. There's a lot of things that happened that were high energy. Yeah, witch trials and...
I got a story... Another story too.
That's cool.
I went into New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm talking about. Ghosts really do follow me. Like, this is some crazy stuff. We went to New York. I can't remember the place, but there was this. We did this like haunted tour and stuff. And my sister's got a picture of like there's just a light right behind me. I'm looking over. The guy goes, sometimes people see ghosts over here and stuff. And she's got a picture. There's a light right behind me. But I'm looking over. And, you know, like,
wow.
I can't make this stuff up. And a bunch of people had gotten this picture and go, man, thanks for coming. We got the good pictures because of you, you know. I got to see if I can find my picture. You
That'd
know?
Be cool. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's wild, man. That's wild that you experience so much of this stuff and you're not even looking for it. It just find you.
I know. You bring me on one of those ghost tours, you'll definitely see something because, like, I don't know if they're curious about me, they're just attracted to energy, but they just show up, you right. know?
Yeah.
You need to the ghost tours to go on those so that people will get pictures.
Yeah. I know. I would get a lot of photo ops because people would be like, what is that around him?
Yeah, we went to Salem. We did the went to the Lizzie Borden house, and that was Salem was disappointing. Salem just was kind of to me. It was like it's kind of over. It's like corporate kind of witchy kind of store. You know, it was just weird. It was like this is not what I pictured it to be. And we went, I think we were like 2 weeks before Halloween, and there were so many people there. I mean, it was just so congested. But it wasn't what I thought it would be. But you could feel it, man. I mean, there's definitely something in the air, you know.
Yeah.
There's something there, man, for sure.
Absolutely.
You know, but
I can't, it's something George, Lake George. Is it Lake George in New York?
Yeah, Lake George. Yeah.
It might be Lake George we went to. And there was
okay.
There was like a army base or something, an old school army base that we had done a tour, ghost tour on.
Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah, I've been to Lake George a couple of times. Actually, one of my best friends got married there.
And, oh, really?
Beautiful. That's a beautiful area. But yeah, again, a lot of wild stuff, man. A lot of wild stuff.
Absolutely.
You know,
one thing I'd like to see is that apparently those guys who did the married couple that did the Conjuring.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the Conjuring's based off of.
Yeah, yeah.
They had come across a TV that could show you the future. I think that would be interesting to see. They have it in their museum, but I wonder if it, like, still works or something, you know?
Right, right.
And yeah. I know that the Annabelle doll has escaped a couple times, you know?
Yeah, that's freaky.
Well, I think Baggins has it now.
Who does?
Baggins.
Oh, he does?
That Baggins has Annabelle now.
Wow.
I'm totally blanking on that couple's name, and I think it's like Frank and somebody, but it's they were one of the premier paranormal investigators in like the 60s and 70s. They're the ones who did Amityville and whole bunch of others, but yeah. Mainly Amityville.
Poltergeist was based on Lorraine. Lorraine.
Yeah. Warren.
Warren. Ed and Lorraine.
Lorraine and Warren. That's it.
Yeah. 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 That's crazy.
What do you guys think about vampires? Do you think they're real?
Well,
I don't know.
I've never had an encounter with any, obviously. Being ghost blind and all of that, never had any kind of supernaturally kind of experience that I'm aware of, really. But we have had a guest tell us a really freaky story way back, probably 4 or 5 years ago, when he was in Germany, and they were in the military, and they were running the wires. So they were checking wires that went out, you know, the field and stuff. And this is probably early 80s, easily. Mm-hmm. And they were out in the field and they looked up and they just saw this guy who was dressed in, like, you know, Edwardian times garb and was, you know, had glowing red eyes, and he was floating, you know, off of the ground. And, you know, by the time that our guest was, you know, had processed this enough to say, let's DTFO here, he turned to say that to his buddy. He looked, and his buddy had already taken off. so he split too, and he never looked back. But that's the only real, I mean, like, as far as, you know, I don't know, the blood-sucking vampires. I mean, I believe there could be something like a kind of like a psychic vampire where somebody can really come in and just tax you emotionally and mentally. And I don't know if they necessarily do that purposely or not, but it seems like there's people that do that. But as far as the bloodsuckers, I love a good vampire movie and a good story, but I don't know. I'm just one of those things.
I'm really on the fence about it, because I see people talking about it on TikTok and on social media, and I'm like really on the fence on whether. I mean, it's very possible they could be like another form of a demon or another form of something that's walking among us, but you know, they must be doing a good job of hiding it, because I've never come across one, but I'd be interested to learn more without attracting one to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually,
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where there's some kind of story about a reanimated corpse that continues to live and drinks the blood of, you know, the living and in virtually every culture, from the Far East to, you know, to.
Well, it's the same thing with dragons, you know?
Yep.
There's a dragon story in every culture. Yeah. You know?
But dragons can be just a little bit more easily explained away by fossils and people not understanding what fossils were.
Right.
But that doesn't also necessarily rule out, you know, what we would call dragons, because there are these stories, these universal stories about these giant lizard type beasts. So again, you know,
it's possible because there are animals that suck blood, you know.
Yeah, vampire bats. Yeah.
Who says there's not a mutant offshoot of humans that do that, you know?
Exactly.
Anything's a possibility, you know.
Yeah,
right.
We've heard
and it's also like there's it could simply be like a mental disorder where there's, because like there is a mental disorder, lycanthropy, where people think that they're werewolves.
Yeah.
You know, and they, you know, there's been a few famous ones in history, you know, but it's still, you know, the roots are in something. Mm-hmm. And whether it's a supernatural root or it's something that is not, I mean, the stories persist. And so there's something that's, you know, there's a commonality in the origin somewhere.
Another thing I wanted to talk to you guys about was guardian angels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely believe in guardian angels as well. I think some people have somebody looking out for them, much like that person that would live with me that had the ghost. You know, I definitely think either however you want to spin it, whether he was a bad angel or a good angel, I think he was attached to her.
Sure.
And meant to protect her, you know?
Sure, man.
And she was one of those people who's just so dumb that, like, I don't know how she survived as long as she did, and I'm guaranteed it had to do with that ghost that was following her.
You know? Right. Yeah, I believe in that. I've always felt like, for me, maybe ancestors that had passed or something like that.
Almost like Lion King, where you got the Mufasa up and the
water over. I feel like sometimes when things happen in my life, my mind goes to giving thanks to whoever's looking out for me. I don't know who that is or what it is, but I think that's important to me personally, to understand that maybe there is something or someone who's trying to encourage positive things in life. And we've had a lot of people on that have talked about guardian angels, and I believe it. Yeah. This is a weird world that we live in, man. And there's so many unexplained things, and we're just starting to, you know, because for the longest time, ghosts and ghost hunting and things like that, when we were growing up, when Av and I were growing up, that was sort of a thing that was way out there. And it seems like over the last 20, 25 years, we're getting more information, more of an understanding. Not to say that we've come to any, you know, solid conclusions or whatever, but like, we just live in a space and time where there's a lot of strangeness, a lot of weird things that we can't explain. And what is that transition point from when we pass over to the other side? What happens in that transition? How many people get stuck in that in-between stage or are able to come back and revisit, you know, strange dreams or apparitions? And it's just, it's interesting stuff.
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't believe a lot of psychics. I think a lot of them are full of shit. Mm-hmm. But this one in particular, I I was at a Christmas party, and they had hired this person or whatever, and she was doing the act where, like, what's the letter, what's the name or stuff. And then I had talked to the person off to the side, and we had a good chat, and she was able to rely information about me that only certain people know and that, like, aren't public anywhere, that, like, you would only know this information if you were this person.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And, like, how this person knew I was connected to this other person they had mentioned, that's the only reason why I was convinced this person actually had some kind of connection. Because I'll tell you the story. I have this cousin who killed himself at 11 years old due to bullying. Okay?
Wow.
But he's not, like, my biological cousin. He's, like, my grandmother grew up with his grandmother, and just generations have been really close. We do family reunions with this family, like super tight. Like, they're practically family without being blood related.
Yeah.
Right? And I would have never known we weren't blood related other than me doing my further research, because we're just that close of a family.
Yeah.
But he killed himself at 11 years old. And I don't talk to many people saying, hey, I have this connection. Like, you would never put me and him together in the same category because it's been so long.
Yeah.
So for this person to know all that information about me and know things about this cousin that only me and him have discussed, and, like, I haven't even discussed with my brothers or... You know, that's the only reason why I was convinced this person actually knew it was legit, you know?
Wow, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I totally believe that. I totally, you know, I think there are legit people out there, you know.
I think the legit people are too. I think a lot of people are bullshit though.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
There's a lot of people who know how to do that cold reading kind of thing, where they make very generalized statements,
right,
you know, where they can just throw out a name, throw out a letter, and then follow that along down a series, using a series of questions that they know where to come from. I mean, that if you pay attention to, you know, the formula of how it works, you can see how you could arrive at anything, especially because somebody on the other side of the table or in the audience really wants to hear a message from somebody. They really want to hear it. So they're putting that intention out there. They're putting their interpretation ears and filters way open so that they can, you know, hear what they want to hear and be like, oh, it's, you know, it wasn't, you know, Mike, but it was Mike was the best friend of his, of my, you know, my brother.
South Park did a whole episode on
Gary,
that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely one of those things. So you got to be wary of charlatans, but there are people who are legitimately have these abilities that are hard to explain or unexplainable, at least that we can, you know, scientifically, you know, that are real. There's something there, you know, and they're, you know, again, it just goes to that kind of the spectrum of being able to perceive, of this, you know, the supernatural or the paranormal or whatever it is, being able to understand that or connect with it, you know, from the, and because, I mean, we're very limited with our, as a species, as an animal, we're very limited right. in our perception and what we can physically process. By what we take in our very limited eyes on the spectrum, our eyes take in and what we can hear and smell and feel, you know, the sensations that we can process, you know, it works for us, but it's very limited.
Yeah. Yes. Well, let's talk a little bit about you're a writer. You've written some books, right? Let's talk about that.
I have 4 books out.
Okay. What are they and what do they encompass? Have
one is about the one that's coming out in a little over a month It's called The Galactic Guardians.
Okay.
It's about five kids who are playing in a junkyard, and they find a giant robot, like akin to Voltron.
Cool.
You know? One of the kids presses the button, and it shoots them all the way to the edge of space. Now they have to use this giant robot to find their way back to Earth.
Nice.
And so it's basically my love letter to my childhood. I was a big fan of Voltron, Power Rangers, sure. Dragon Ball Z,
yeah.
You know, Planet of the Apes. Yeah. So every time I put them on a planet, it's always like a tribute to something.
Nice. You know?
There's going to be a planet that's like Dragon Ball Z. There's going to be a planet that's going to be, you know, like Alien from, you know, the Alien franchise. You know, there's going to be a whole planet that's just a hive mind that took over everybody on the planet. And they got to find their way out of there before the hive mind takes over their giant robot. You know, like just like little situations that are going to help them find their way back to Earth.
Cool.
You know? And so there's that. I got the Eternal Flame and the Eternal Frost, which is a series about a black superhero who gets his powers from passed on generation to generation.
Cool.
And his relatives are connected to another family, and their destiny is to kill each other.
Wow.
Well, his best friend and childhood crush happens to be part of this family.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to, you know, find a way to fall in love or kill each other.
Wow.
You know, I won't spoil the ending, but, cool. You know, there's a very good twist at the end.
Cool.
That's a catch 22.
Okay. Know? Great.
So that's good. And then the sequel is about his buddy who gets his superpowers from emotion. So he is a gay superhero. And when he came out to his father, because he got rejected by his father for being gay, his superpowers immerse. And I was very much inspired by X-Men. You know, okay. When X-Men comes, the powers come from puberty. This is coming from emotion, you know. And it was a very much a struggle to write it because I'm not gay myself.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't want to be offensive towards the gay community from writing from their point of view with me not being gay.
Yeah.
So I tried my best. You know, I think I succeeded in making a positive hero for the LGBTQ community.
Yep.
For anybody that's kind of going through that struggle of coming out to their parents or coming out to their family. You know, hopefully the ending has a good, like, almost like a hug for you, you know?
Yeah.
And then the last book was Homie and the Redneck, which was a movie script I had written.
Okay.
For Fox. And basically they got bought by Disney, so then the rights reverted back to me.
Okay.
And so it's about a black radio host and a white radio host have to overcome racism to come together and create a show so their radio station doesn't die out due to, like, the rise of podcasting and the rise of social media.
Nice, man. Oh, that's so cool, man. Where can people find the books, man?
They're at Walmart, Amazon, and Barnes & Noble.
Nice, man. That is awesome. How can people get it?
What's their name so that they know how to look you up?
Oh, Remington, K-E-Y-E-S. It's pronounced Kies. Everyone says Keys, but it's really Kies. It's German.
Okay. So. Do you have a social media presence where people can follow you?
I'm on Facebook, Remington Kies, Instagram, Kung Fu Remy, because I do martial arts as well. I'm a third-degree black belt.
Nice, man.
So it's just all that. I'm on YouTube under the Nerd Talk podcast.
Cool.
So
nice
too.
Nice. Yeah, dude. That's awesome, man. Well, thanks, man. We appreciate you coming on, man. What a cool story. And
anytime.
Yeah. We appreciate it. We'd love to have you back, man. If you ever want to come back.
Totally, dude.
Love to come back.
Okay.
Yeah. When it's out, when you get your books or anytime you publish something or you put it out there, definitely we'll have you back on and chat some more.
or if I have another spooky paranormal story.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Well, we expect that to happen now.
Right. Hey, you know what we need?
What's that?
We need a new ad for our merch store.
Our merch store.
I've had a few people reach out to me and ask me, just how do we get What's Your Weird Story merch?
Huh. How do we get that What's Your Weird Story merch?
What's-your, spelled Y-E-R, dash, weird, dash, story, dot myspreadshop.com.
That's what's-your, spelled Y-E-R, dash, weird, dash, story, dot myspreadshop.com.
That's correct. Get in touch with us. Go buy some merch. We got some cool stuff.
Yeah, dude. And you know what? If any of our listeners out there has some really cool ideas or has some really cool What's Your Weird Story type art that they want to see on a t-shirt, get a hold of us. Maybe it'll happen.
Wow. Yeah. Great. Great stuff, man.
There's so much there. It's a Western sizzling of stories, man. You've got an entire buffet. Where do you want to even start?
Yeah. His grandmother, making her presence known. That was interesting, man.
Yeah.
Really cool. Yeah,
and it reminds me kind of, you know, I've not had that experience, you know, but kind of how you had did.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I know you've had similar experience.
Yeah.
And how we're, you know, family members drop by for like one last goodbye.
Right.
Or just check in on you, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Just wild, you know, and of course, his dad having the background that he's got and all of the excursions that he's been on, mm-hmm. with his priest friend that passed away under
mysterious circumstances.
Just it reminded me of The Exorcist. You know, I'm always brought back to that movie where, you know, that veil gets dropped. If you're at all vulnerable, anything can attach itself to you. It's very, it's freaky, man. You know, it's wild. It's really interesting, man. What a wild story, dude.
Yeah, man. And then of course, the rest of his family history. He didn't want to mention it by name, but when he was talking about, you know, his skinwalkers, you know, I mean,
yeah,
that's what those are, and in Native American culture, they're all over. Some may have different names, but that basically it's kind of the same.
Yeah.
And they are all pretty much not good. Yeah. I watched X-Files recently when they did had some skinwalkers on. The reason they don't say their name is because it's bad luck. It's, you know, it's part of the belief is it's kind of like, you know, if you say Beetlejuice,
right,
you know, three times.
Speaking him into existence.
Yeah. Making you known, putting you on radar, you know, so that's why, you know, they kind of add other names and other references and way, you know, that he, you know, or what's Harry Potter, who shall not be named, or.
Right.
You know, whatever they call Voldemort. You know.
Amazing.
It's wild, dude.
Great.
Yeah, a variety of stories. And so, yeah, Remy, we really appreciate it. We really had a good time talking to you. And go check out his books, sound really cool. If you like, you know, kind of on a little bit of nostalgia sci-fi kind of stuff going on, you know, superhero stuff sounds really, my alley for sure. You can go check those out in Remington Keys, but it's spelled like keys. So go and check him out there and find his stuff. Follow him on his social medias and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. And you guys reach out to us and come on, talk to us. Tell us your stories. We want to have time with you. We want to have a discussion. That's all we do. We just hang out and we talk, and it always leads to great stuff, just like Remy's episode. It's just good fun and super chill.
It's easier than a first date. How about that? It's, you know, because you're going to come in and you're going to be a little nervous. It's all fun. It's all laid back. We try to make you feel as comfortable as possible. If you want to, have a cold adult beverage while you visit with us, that's totally cool. It's all you're grown up. You do you, but we try to make it fun and easy and relaxing and encouraging and comfortable and make you feel welcomed. That's the main goal for us as hosts, and I think that's the host's job, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, for sure. And it never fails. We'll have some people that come on and they're very nervous about being on or whatever, and it always ends up being a fantastic time for everyone. It's fun. We love to talk to new people. We love to get to know new people, and we always end with a really great feeling that we just met a new friend. So it's great, man.
Yeah, and sometimes our friends that we've just met, they've got a lot of stories, so we have them back on, and we're always more than happy to help you, our friends, promote anything that you're working on, your creative endeavors. We're big supporters of the arts. We're big supporters of being creative and making your own thing, your own statements, your own expressions manifest into the world. We're all about that. And, if you got something to plug as well, hey, totally cool. We support our friends. So everyone is welcome, no matter how big or short your stories are. We look forward to hearing them all, and we look forward to meeting all of you, and also having return visits like we will next week.
Absolutely, man. We got a good one next week for sure. Yeah. Always good.
Good stuff lined up. 2025. It's been a pretty bunk year for me personally, but the podcast has been really kicking, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely, man.
All right. Well, thanks once again, Weirdsville, for listening, and thank you once again, Smiling Sensei, for manning the ship for me all, and you're on your own in my absence.
Oh, man. It's nice to have you back.
So, well, it's good to be back amongst the living. Hey, we're here. We're going to do it. We're going to keep on rocking in 2025. So thanks, Weirdsville, and we will see you next time here on the What's Your Weird Story podcast. I'm Adam Beebe. That's Barry Johnston. Be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.